Our show's name pays tribute to the Boer Trekkers of South Africa, who in 1838 soundly defeated 30,000 Zulus on the bank of the Nkomo River, thereafter called Blood River, from the water turning red with the blood of the slain. Miraculously, no Boer Trekker died and only three were wounded. Now, your friend, Eddie Miller, will be your ambassador for tonight's show.
Dear Blood River Radio family, thank you so much for hanging on. We've got, I think we had a great 2 hours. We did it choreographed as well as we could to try to get as many people on that were actually there. Keep in mind the people that we brought on, they're like us, really. I'm just basically an amateur. I have a lot of experience, but I never did go to any kind of training school or anything to be a newsman. But all these people we brought on, some of them have never been on a radio in their whole life, and I think they did a great job. That's what we try to do. We try to get people on that were just raw talent, so to speak. There's no raw experience, and I think they did good. We wanted to write to you exactly what Charlottesville was like and all the repercussions since Charlottesville. I wanted them to tie together things that are happening right now that might not have happened has Charlottesville not come along. Charlottesville, it was almost like it was planned for a reason to open up a Pandora's box, so to speak, of all the evil crap coming down the pike. I think during the break, I mentioned, I got to get off to Charlottesville real quick, that prior to Charlottesville, we didn't see this explosion in this LGBT plus transsexual body mutilations of the government taking parents to court to force the parents into letting their child be sexually mutilated and being injected with chemicals and hormones. We didn't see that. That's exploded since Charlottesville. These crappy war of Russia since Charlottesville. The unlimited a number of prosecutions for non-crime since Charlottesville, a.k.a. December 6th. But that's what I wanted them. I wanted to make the point. So anyway, so much for Charlottesville, so much for the last 2 hours. Now we're going to the Blood River Radio sister, Big Sister Nancy Hitt, and Sister Braveheart. She's on their own. They're taking over. I'm sure they got plenty of stuff, so I'm just going to shut up, bring them in out of the break. So go ahead, Sister Nancy. Lead us off since you're the eldest.
Okay. First of all, I'm going to give you just a little outline of what I've got. I've got tar and feathering, a Jewish family of warmongers. I've got some heroes and heroines. And I want to talk about what I could discover about the 10 known white people, men, who were at Charlottesville who got jail time. And I've got a record here of their names and the times that they were supposed to spend in jail. I don't know the outcome of all of these people. I don't know if they were released early. I don't know if they're still in jail. But I think that that's kind of important. The 10 of them did end up getting sentenced for, fighting, protecting themselves, basically. And I want to bring up something. I know we're talking about Charlottesville, but I just discovered that today, August the 12th, back in 1959, Yuri von Kahl was born. This is his birthday today. And I sent him a birthday card. And I'll just mention three of my heroes and heroines. I've got Leslie Borey, Yuri von Kahl. He's already spent 40 years in prison I don't think he even committed a crime. Matt Hale has already spent 20 years of a 40-year conviction. And let's not forget somebody that was with the Bundy situation. That was Robert Lavoie Finicum, who the feds shot in the back and killed. So I guess I'll go back to let Monica follow up on what she has today.
Thanks, Nancy. That's really, really great, your little outline there. I have been giving myself a sort of a upgrade on my education about Charlottesville today. I listened to the broadcast that you did on the political cesspool live from Charlottesville in 2017, Eddie, with on the political cesspool, and it was just so fantastic, the 3 hours there. Actually, I didn't quite listen to the whole third hour. I ran out of time before I then tuned into Blood River Radio today. I was very moved by your speakers in the first 2 hours, and I did have some follow-up comments that I wanted to make about that, and particularly as somebody from far away, as somebody from Canada, who I was nowhere near there, and you know, we've been misled and miseducated about the South all our lives, just like we were miseducated or, you know, disinfoed all our lives about the Germans and about World War II and all those things. And I do see Charlottesville as a turning point. And like Paul Fromm said, and he spoke very well about it at the time and also since, and I think you're going to have him on as a guest perhaps next week, I'm not sure. But anyway, Charlottesville changed everything. And what I really got out of today's sort of upgrade in my education about it is that everything was planned in advance to cause this to be like the ramping up of the war against us. It, you could call it the beginning of the war, but it's not really the beginning of the war. The war started long before, the war against Germans, then by extension against all white people, against the white race. And what you get from the mainstream media, which, you know, I tune into the mainstream media just to see what they're telling the masses, because I mean, back in 2017, I was already awake about the fact that they're lying to us about pretty much everything, but I didn't know the details about Charlottesville so much. But really, it's just a totally inverted picture. And one of your guests in the second hour, I think his name was Greg, he talked about that he also wasn't from the South, but he went, he and his wife, and his family won't believe him who was there, but they would rather believe the mainstream media. And I really, really could relate to Greg. And I just feel the same. I mean, I have family members who, while Alfred and I are not persecuted for events where we were present, like we're persecuted for talking about World War II, however, we try to lead our family members to, like, we lead them by the hand to show them evidence and facts and, you know, the other side of the story is what's been presented. And you would think that if you're thrown in jail for speaking, that they might get curious and investigate, well, why did they get thrown in jail? But no, they just get more entrenched in their view. It's extremely tragic. And I know that Rand was saying that, you know, it as long as he's right with God, and I agree with that. However, we really do need to wake more people up in this war, because it is up to us to change things, to win this war. And I know that Rand feels that way too, but just that we have to do more, because it is such a war that's based on, well, they warmed us up, or they softened us up, shall we say, by psychological warfare, you know, the war of deception, war of words. And so that is why it's so important for us doing our job here, what we're doing right now, right here today, and every day what we do, try to wake people up, try to wake more people up about what's going on. And of course, this war has gone hot, and Charlottesville was a really, you know, prime example where it went really hot. I mean, people got hurt, people are still imprisoned. And then, like you said, Eddie, this is when this LGBTQ or STUVWXYZ war really ramped up since then. So this is a real war, however, not conventional war. And that's why so many people are still asleep. They just don't get it. It's because of the deceptions. What's the old motto? I'll just say one more thing and then I'll hand it back to Nancy. But the Mossad motto, by way of deception, make war. So here we are in this war. But anyway, I kind of tried to tie a few things together there. I also wanted to make mention of Mary in your first hour. Fantastic what she did. She's absolutely right. Fantastic. And she talked about the fact that so many people have fear of labels. Yes, this is part of the psychological war, that they take these words, weaponize these words, and then people are so afraid of these words, like being called a racist. Mm-hmm. And this is where we absolutely have to help people to understand that these are just weapons that are being used against us. And we have to let these words roll off of us like water off a duck's back. And I'll hand it back. Sorry, I went on very long there.
Well, Rich, we have, Brother Rich, one of my Charlottesville brothers, a dear brother of ours, of mine, he told me to tell you, Monica, we talked about that you can lead a horse to water, but you can't make him think.
I've told my brother that, my other brother. Told my, the zombie brother, and he just scoffs at me, and it just gets worse, But anyway, I agree with that statement. It's a good one.
Well, with that, I guess y'all hear the music, and we come back. Big Sister Nancy, I hope you don't have your stick today, because my head's still sore. But anyway, Big Sister Nancy's going to pick up as soon as we come back this break. See y'all in just a few minutes, folks.
This is a battle. A battle between truth and deceit. A battle between forces that would enslave this country in darkness and between a media that wants to present you with the truth.
We are being censored. America's news outlets no longer provide the truth. 90% of news outlets in the United States are controlled by 6 corporations. The mission of the Epoch Times is to chase the truth, to ground all statements in fact.
TheEpochTimes.com.
Hey, this is Matt from Blood River Radio. Blood River Radio is your voice to save our land, our people, and our future. We propose Christian solutions to an anti-Christian assault on our bloodlines. We love what we do, but we cannot do it without your help. The annual operating cost of Blood River Radio is more than even a team of people should bear alone. With your donation, we can take the fight to our enemies and hold our own people accountable for their treachery against us. Please go to our website, www.bloodriverradio.com, and find a way to help us that is suitable for you. We are thankful for any cash, check, or money orders we get. We also appreciate your correspondence or letters of encouragement. Once again, please help, and thank you for joining the fight.
Looking for an IT partner that truly understands your needs? Managed IT Services is the answer. We meet with you regularly to discuss your goals and form a tailored technology plan. Our customers have called us a trusted advisor who delivers. When it comes to IT, we do it all. Firewalls, cloud storage, server migration, and more. Say goodbye to long-term contracts and hello to a team that earns your business month after month. Call 801-706-6980 now and let Managed IT Services transform your IT experience.
The Innis is a 44 Magnum, the most powerful handgun in the world, and would blow your head clean off. You've got to ask yourself one question. Do I feel lucky? Well, do you, Bunk?
Oh, dear Blood River Radio. Sister Nancy promised she was going to put her stick up, so she's back up. She's on, it's a big-ass stick, too. See, anyway, Sister Nancy, take us away, dear sister.
Yeah, one of the things I'd like to mention, although I know Charlottesville, yes, it was extremely important, but I am older than you, Eddie, and I go back to an anti-busing event in Louisville. Of course, this happened in other areas in the 70s, and my father had a business on the location right here in this area where we were protesting busing, and let me tell you what happened. The police were in force in jumpsuits without their name badges, probably had been sent in here from other states. My father's business, the windows were broken out. The front window was broken out. There was a report that was written. Now, this was many years ago. There was a report that was written and showed and proved that these cops were beating up our people. I called the cops after the event, and this is the kind of response I got, because I wanted to report the broken window in my dad's business, and his attitude was, well, more or less didn't care as long as nobody got, I guess, killed. So anyway, this is not these kind of anti-white actions on the part of the police, the military, the whatever group, the sheriffs. It's not new. I mean, I'm going to say that this is not new. And, you know, there was these things happened in the South in other anti-busing protests, but I was right there when it happened right in my neighborhood. And so that just I also witnessed this when they had the couple that were killed in Tennessee brutally by the blacks. The police were everywhere with batons, and they also had jumpsuits without their names on it. Now, they do that purposely, so you cannot report them because you don't know who they are to begin with. Even if you could report them, it wouldn't go anywhere. But my next step would be to mention the 10 men, white men, who were indicted for fighting back against the brutal mobs in Charlottesville. Now, what has happened to them, whether they got out early, I only have two reports about some that got out early, but there were so-called four white supremacists involved in a street battle called Raise Above Monument, or their RAM. They came all the way from California to Charlottesville, and they got one count of conspiracy to violate the federal riot statute.
Damn.
And one count of violating it, and each faced up to 10 years. So we got Michael Daly, 25 years old. He got jailed 37 months.
Yep.
Thomas Gillum, 34. He got 33 months. Michael Masalis of 29, he got 27 months. And Cole White, who was 24, he got 14 months, but he had already spent 7 months in prison after being arrested. So they credited him with 5 months being incarcerated at home. Well, the one that really got the shaft was this poor young man who was attacked from all angles in his car, James Alex Fields Jr., 21,
yes,
of Malmy, Ohio. They charged him with 30 crimes, including one count of hate crime, resulting in the death of Heather Heyer, plus 28 hate crimes involving attempts to kill people. Well, that is a joke, because what was really happening is they were attempting to kill James Fields in his car, and the poor guy was trying to get away from them. The cops would have done exactly the same thing. They would have run over these protesters who were beating the windows out. But because he's a young white man, he is in prison basically for the rest of his life. Will he ever get out? Who knows? Okay, here's three. In 2018, there was a fight with a black. He was an aspiring rapper. His name was DeAndre Harris. Three were sentenced. You got Jacob Scott Goodwin, who you've mentioned. He was only 23, yep, from Arkansas. He is still in jail. He got 8 years. He was defending himself, mm-hmm, from a violent black in a fight. Then you've got a man from Georgia, originally from Puerto Rico, Alex Michael Ramos. He was,
yes,
34 years old. He got 6 years plus 3-year probation, again defending himself against blacks.
Yep.
Then they got in Maryland Richard W. Preston. They really wanted to go after him because they said he was with the KKK. The only thing he did was fire a gun in which nobody was injured. He was really trying to stop from receiving a blowtorch from a can of spray paint from Corey A. Long, a 24-year-old black. Others that were also tried due to the same fight was Michael P. Borden. He was only 18. He was arrested in Ohio. Tyler Watkins Davis. And I have a question mark about whether he's also Tyler Bradley Dykes. I don't really know what the outcome was there. But listen to what they did to the black guy. They were really so rude to him. He was convicted of disorderly conduct. He got 360 days suspended, 340 of them. He will only serve 10 of 20 days if he behaves in jail. And it was met with loud protest by the blacks outside the court and, of course, inside the court. So isn't this a joke? A misdemeanor assault charge against Long was dropped. Now, someone wanted to sue him, but they didn't show up. Now, I was curious of who this was. I don't know who it was. But back to this man, Tyler Watkins Davis.
I think Rich knows that. I think it might have been a guy named Harold Cruz. I'm not sure. Rich will type in, let us know. I think Harold Cruz is the fellow that didn't show up. Not sure. I'm sure Rich will let us know. Rich knows more about that.
Back to Tyler Watkins Davis. I'm thinking he may be the same one they're saying at 25. He's from Bluffton, South Carolina. He served a prison sentence for Charlottesville. It doesn't say how many months or what, but he said he just got rearrested for January the 6th.
You know what, Sister Nancy, one more tidbit about this DeAndre Harris clown. He's the one that got the hell. He like an idiot, him and some of his bros, some of his black feral brothers, they made the fatal mistake of going to the garage, and they got the hell beat out of them in a fair fight. But they started
right.
it. They started it. And get
right.
this, within
sure.
It was 3 weeks or less, he was caught up there in Charlottesville with a trunk load, and I'm 90% sure about this, with all kind of paraphernalia, with weapons, drugs, what have you. He got out of that, too. And not only that, there was a GoFundMe page fund started for him. And he grew up. I think it got up to upwards of maybe of $250,000. He's buying new shoes, cars. these stinking Jews, these stinking Satan worshiping Jews, started him a GoFundMe
right.
page. And he's the one that almost killed Harold Cruz with the Meg Light. And
I couldn't find where they did anything to him. As far they said he had
nothing.
A broken ankle or something. I don't know.
Oh, they took him to the hospital because the big white boys beat the hell out of him. He grabbed the tiger by the tail. Tiger tore his ass up, and he was in the hospital. He had to fix his old face up. But yeah, he hit in the state of Virginia before he went into Charlottesville. We had a fellow lecturing us on the law. You can have a gun strapped on, but you can't have a club. If you take a club or if you take a knife, you can get in trouble. No, it says Cruz showed up, but he didn't cooperate. Listen, Cruz showed up, but he did not cooperate with a prosecutor, so the trial went against him. And this fellow
now,
you're talking about. So the guy,
against
the guy
Long,
with the,
against
yeah.
the guy with the blowtorch.
Yeah, right, correct.
Yeah,
you know, and,
okay, that's, yeah.
But this GoFundMe page, I mean, it was just sick. I mean, I'm going to shut up. I'm getting too worked about that. Go ahead, Nancy. I didn't mean to hog.
Well,
too much.
One other thing. I had a note here. This was great. How this has got to be I don't know who this guy is. Probably a Jew. A guy named Sean King of the Daily News in New York. Now, you know, he wants to get his finger in the pot. He decided that he would give a $10,000 reward to identify suspects, well, white suspects. Yeah, that's how some of these people got arrested.
Well, folks, we got to go to a quick break. And by the way, it's a felony in Virginia to hit anyone above the shoulder with an object, and that's exactly what DeAndre Harris did and did get a day out of it. Be right back, folks, after this. We're going to go right back to Go back to Sister Monica, I guess, so she's been kind of quiet.
Pursuing liberty, using the Constitution as our guide. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
USA News, I'm Dave Collins. The death toll in the Maui firestorm continues to grow. There were problems alerting local citizens.
A new report says no outdoor warning sirens were triggered by local or state agencies in the early hours of the Maui firestorm. Brian Shook reports.
Residents were on their own to rely on three other forms of warning: mobile alerts, local radio, and television, and the Maui County's opt-in resident notification system. Some survivors believe they were not sufficiently warned as the fire spread. Officials say the sirens are intended to alert people to seek more information, not necessarily to indicate an evacuation is underway.
That's Corey Myers reporting. A ban on assault-style weapons is being upheld by the Illinois Supreme Court. A law banning assault-style rifles and high-capacity magazines was passed by state lawmakers in January and signed into law by Democratic Governor J.B. Pritzker. It came about 6 months after the Highland Park mass shooting that killed seven people. The law faced months of legal challenges, with opponents arguing it violated both the state and U.S. constitutions. Former President Trump scheduled to appear at the Iowa State Fair today. Michael Kastner with more.
He'll be alongside a group of Florida Republicans who have endorsed him over their home state governor, Ron DeSantis. Reports say DeSantis is also expected to attend the annual event in the key early voting state. Polling shows Trump holding a big lead over DeSantis and all the other candidates for the 2024 GOP presidential nomination.
The Writers Guild of America met at the bargaining table with Hollywood Studios on Friday. The Alliance of Motion Picture and Television Producers presented a counterproposal to the WGA, but details of the proposal were not disclosed. Both sides have recessed for the time being. You're listening to USA News.
Have you ever noticed that when the afternoon light hits your floors, you can see everything, including dust?
So much dust.
And that floor dust gets kicked up into the air, compromising the quality of air you and your family breathe.
Eesh.
Swiffer Heavy Duty Sweeper is the fast and easy way to clean your floors, with ultra-thick pads that trap and lock dust before it gets in the air. Just a couple minutes a day,
and dust is gone.
Swiffer Heavy Duty Sweeper. Proud partner of the American Lung Association.
Hi, I'm Wayne Allyn for Revive Health. Revive is an inexpensive alternative or supplement to traditional healthcare. It's perfect for independent contractors, gig workers, and small business owners. What you need is flexibility, portability, affordability, and ease of access. You also need convenient care that you can get anywhere. That's what Revive is. Affordable, flexible, portable, fast, simple, healthcare anywhere. Revive treats you like you are the CEO of your own Fortune 500 company. Usually, you can only get access to a product like this.
Hey, dear Blood River Radio family. You know what? If I get a chill thinking about people out there listening to us, I really do. It's an honor and a privilege to be able to defend our people in our race. Not to be get too waxed too, what's the word, theatrical. It's
poetic.
It's
you're waxing poetic.
There you go. You know, duty, honor, country, God, family. That's what we're trying to do anyway, and without trying to be a drama queen. But anyway, folks, we're going right back to little sister Monica Braveheart. Take off Braveheart.
Okay.
Tear it up.
All right. So there's another thing that I wanted to follow up from the first couple of hours, this the war against the right. I see this now differently, and I think that we perhaps should start talking differently about this right versus left, although we know exactly what we're talking about. The left is basically representing, you know, communism, and the right is right. And it's wonderful that that word is actually the same word for being correct, being right. But I see it more now as a division, not between right and left, but a division between people who are awake and people who are still asleep and deceived. And I think it's no coincidence that many people youth start out more left-leaning, and then as they get older, they go more right-leaning. Was that you, Nancy, chiming in?
Yeah, I think it's typical.
Yeah, it's because they learn, right? They learn about what's really going on, perhaps. I mean, maybe even if they don't fully wake up, they kind of see things, they get life experience and whatnot, and then they get more quote-unquote conservative in their outlook. Or in Canada, that's the, you know, conservative political party is viewed as more right-wing. And then there's the liberals, which are the more the left-wing. But I see it now as people who are awake versus those who are zombified and asleep and do not actually see what's going on. They're in the matrix still. And you know, there's no shame in admitting that somebody was in the matrix, as long as you can come out of it when you are presented with facts. I mean, I was in the matrix until over 50 years of age. And thank goodness I did come out of the matrix of lies and woke up to what's going on, and then got onto the right side of history. And we are on the right side of history. And there's that word again, right. But, you know, I just wanted to raise that subject. And along that line, there's the words, the labels. And we talked about that, the weaponized words that people are so afraid of being called racist. That this is something we just absolutely have to get over. And I guess, what are some of the strategies to get over it? When somebody calls you one of these words, instead of excusing it or trying to say, oh, no, I'm not this or I'm not that, not anti-Semitic or not racist. No, just embrace it. Embrace it. Say, thank you for noticing it. Or, you know, really just take the wind right out of their sails, you know.
Here's
another... Yeah. One more thing, Nancy, just the Jews' biggest success, and this is, again, talking about words and what makes us get this allergic reaction. Whoa, they have been so successful at making people have an allergic reaction to having the Jew being named. I'm saying just the word Jew. I'm not even saying name the people like Goldstein or Silverstein or whatever. I'm talking about, say, the Jews did this to us, or the Jews are behind pornography, or the Jews are behind, you know, the degradation of our culture and music, or behind LGBTQ, whatever it is, COVID, the Jews are behind that. But people have this allergic reaction, and I've seen it in my own family. I'm talking about other siblings besides Alfred and myself, where they have this allergic reaction to that. If we mention Jews, they will just run for the hills, say, oh, your sources are so bad, and it's just so full of hatred and vitriol. This is the Jews' biggest success. How did they do that? Over to you.
No, I totally agree. I understand what you're saying. I told Eddie, I think, about something that happened just a couple of days ago. I was down in south of Louisville, close to Shepherdsville or Bullitt County, and there was a little white kids, well, they were adolescents, or maybe they were high school students, and they were collecting for a mission to Africa. And I said, one of the girls came up to me, and I said, why not help whites? Oh, well, we do that. And I said, look, you're wasting your money with Africans. And she walked away, and I could hear her say, we love them, we love them, we love them. Our people are brainwashed. They are totally, totally brainwashed. You know, I was with a lady today, and I made comment about the Jews hate us. Oh, well, not all of them. Oh, no, they don't all hate us, Nancy, you know, no.
There's a...
not studied Talmud and Torah. And,
right.
She doesn't really, and who does? I mean, let's face it. Where are these students of history? Where are these students of bad actors? I don't know. It's unfortunate. In fact, I really believe that America is one of the most poorly educated countries in the world. I really do. Even when I was in traveling, for example, in South Africa, the blacks who are very poorly educated in the Republic of South Africa, they spoke three languages, you know. So anyway, but, you know, anyway, let me go back to tar and feathering. I've got some Jews to tar and feather.
Yes, yes.
Okay. How about the wonderful Jewess? It's a Jewish family, actually. The Jewess, Victoria Nuland. Her hubby, Robert Kagan, been around for years, a big known neocon. And, you know, they will work for both parties. As long as they can start these wars, they'll work for both parties. Listen, Kagan's brother is a professor at West Point, and his sister, Kimberly Kagan, is the head of an institute for study of war. She's been a professor at West Point, Yale, and Georgetown. This is just one Jewish family.
That's the family who basically is responsible for starting the war in the Ukraine back in 2014.
Absolutely.
2014 Absolutely. Already. Yeah.
Now she's going to Niger to, I guess, stir up some controversy in Niger in Africa. And, of course, you know, these big neocons, they were all for Iraq, and I think it doesn't matter if they're working for Obama or Biden or if they're working for Bush or Reagan. It wouldn't really matter. As long as there's a war, there's money to be made.
Well, yeah, and it's also, money is just kind of a side effect for the Jews because they print the money. They print it out of thin air anyway, but they're... Their goal basically is to,
right.
to, you know, kill many, very, very many of the non-Jews, the Gentiles, or in their words, the Goyim, who are cattle at best, or just in human form so that they don't have to be served by beasts.
Mm-hmm.
So these things are actually in their holy books. So if anybody is in doubt of what we're saying, I mean, this is written in their holy books.
That's right.
So,
that's right.
Yeah.
You know, I received a letter from Vincent Renaud, and he's in prison in Scotland for naughty thoughts. He thinks it's possible that he could get out, or maybe he's already out as of yet, August the 9th. His concept, maybe, is that if he were to stay 1 year in prison in Scotland, he thinks maybe the Scottish prison system is working for him, that would be comparable to what he was sentenced for in France. And I don't know if he's being overly optimistic. Then he thinks that he would be freed at that point because he's serving in Scotland what they wanted to. The French wanted him extradited and have him serve the time in France. Then there's another case in which he's supposed to be sentenced to time in France, but it's not considered a crime in Scotland. So I think he's optimistic. You know, and I hope he's right that maybe he'll be out this month. I don't know. I don't think he has no way of knowing, really.
Yeah, and he's being treated better in the Scottish prison than he would be in a French prison. And he does have direct experience with that, doesn't he? He has spent time in prison in France. And apparently that is a rough go of it. Now, speaking of rough go, Leslie Borey, who is a Canadian prisoner of war, and I think, you know, we can call these political prisoners of war because it is a war. He's in Milton, Ontario, and I hear the music, but maybe after the break we can talk a little bit about him and about Matt Hale as well and about Alfred as well.
Well, I'm looking forward to hearing that from y'all as soon as we come back from this break that you mentioned, Sister Margo. Be right back, people.
Have you ever had great honey? No, I mean really good, all-natural, raw honey. Well, now you can, thanks to localhoneyman.com. We can ship out our locally made honey all across the U.S. So don't worry, you won't miss out. Plus, Local Honeyman has so many different flavors, like Utah Wildflower, High Desert Delight, Happy Valley, and Blackberry, just to name a few. So purchase your delicious raw honey today at localhoneyman.com.
Okay, listen up, people. I'm beating the bushes for a few good men. I don't want you boys the alt-right. I want the hardcore of the hard-right. And I need you front and center, boots on the ground, at a minute's notice, in the streets, and I need your money. You know the problem that the whites of the world face. It's the all-too-real threat of global extermination. And you know what's going on in South Africa and Western Europe. And unless you're semi-comatose, you've already seen the first stages of white genocide unfolding in our country. Our culture is under constant full-scale attack by our enemy. The enemy never sleeps. They spend day and night wrecking the monuments and the graves of our beloved kin. They attack us physically everywhere we go. They've already taken the linen and our stone. Now they're coming after our flesh. And if you're not too squeamish, if you want to be part of the number one white advocacy group and the number one white civil defense group in the United States, then contact Eddie Bombardier Miller at BloodRiverRadio.com. And please, please donate. And God knows you need us as much as we need you. Thank you.
Do you treasure your liberty? Well, at LovingLiberty.net, we most certainly do. And we want to help protect your liberty too. Become part of the family. Everyone knows that the core of any society is the family. Therefore, the government should foster and protect the integrity of its family, we the people. Won't you join us as a Loving Liberty sponsor to help us promote the principles in the 5,000-year leap? Let's restore the miracle that changed the world at LovingLiberty.net.
Here, Blood River Radio family. I can't believe this is the last hour. It's really, it always goes so fast. It really does. So anyway, with my old head, I was too busy texting somebody, talking to the Blood River Radio sister, so I have no idea who we're going to next. I think is it Sister Monica?
Yeah, sure. Monica, I thought you were making a cake as well.
Yeah, I was. Yes, absolutely. My brain is not big anyway, but it gets things mixed up.
Multitasking, it's not all it's cracked up to be, is it, Eddie?
It sure isn't. I'm guaranteeing it sure is not.
But, yeah, I don't like it much myself either. Anyway,
I'm wait for I forget.
Yeah, go ahead.
We have next week, Sam Dixon will be on, Dr. Michael Hill will be on. Rich Hamblin will be on. They're all veterans of Charlottesville. I don't know who else. But anyway, I'm just giving our people a preview. And Sister Monica, to take off and take us wherever we're going to go.
Yeah, speaking of all your guests, one, I'm feeling badly because when I was talking about the guests in the first 2 hours, I missed Michael Tubbs. He was superb as well. And basically those first 2 hours were really great. But anyway, I wanted to talk about Leslie Borey, who is still in prison, and he's sending me a lot of writing that he's not been idle. He has not been idle, and I will soon be publishing some of that work on my website, freespeechmonica.com. I just haven't quite gotten to that yet because I'm busy transcribing his writings, you know, typing them up and whatnot. But he has been charged. Well, he's still just sitting in jail without actually formal charges, but his lawyer is telling him what they want to charge him with. One is incitement, you know, like all these political prisoners, they're inciting, right? Well, it's because they're telling the truth. So the Jews call that incitement to hatred against somebody, and maybe it's because they hate the truth when we talk about mm-hmm. them. And also mm-hmm. a Holocaust denial, which is now a law in Canada. And they stuck that into the budget bill in 2022. Well, isn't that something, eh? Into a budget bill, they put a Holocaust denial law. I didn't know that history, legislating history belongs in a budget bill. Wow, who knew? And then they also had threatened to charge him with genocide. Now, he wasn't sure, like, does that mean they're charging me with genocide or just that I'm, well, he was warning the people that that we are being genocided. But anyway, apparently they're dropping that. But here's the important thing to take note of. Apparently the judge is asking for a publication ban on whatever happens, whatever transpires in court for Leslie Borey. Now, this is absolutely the dark ages. and then they can just do anything. That would mean no public scrutiny of what goes on in a trial that is yet to be determined the date thereof. I mean, this is
That sounds like Germany.
That sounds like
what they were doing in Germany.
Yes, exactly. Mm-hmm. Exactly. Mm-hmm. Exactly. So again, this is war. I mean, it's like Charlottesville. There's absolutely everything is inverted. It's war against us, our people. So that's Leslie Gorey. Okay, so stay tuned for that. Now, Matt Hale, for quite a while, they did not allow correspondence to reach him or for him to correspond with anybody but immediate family members. And that was, they started that shortly before his mother died. And so he has very few people that can write to him or not. But apparently, I heard the rumor that lately they are lifting that ban on, you know, people being able to correspond with him. Now, I'm still awaiting a reply. I did write him a while ago just to test this out. I don't know if you know anything about that, Nancy, if you've gotten anything from him lately, but because they did that. Now, this is absolutely despicable what they're doing to him. First of all, he's in jail for a 40-year term, and of which he has served half, or I think over half, and for a crime that he did not do. But of course, it's because he has wrong think and is a very, very, very bright man. And, you know, a leader, you could say. They are very afraid of him. And then they cut off all communications, like letters. I just find this, like, cruel and unusual.
It's worse than the Soviet gulags in many ways. It's horrible, absolutely horrible.
Yeah.
Just unacceptable and...
Yes,
terrible,
we are living through times that are comparable to the, you know, Bolshevism in the Soviet Union, and they're using different methods, but it's the same playbook. Same playbook.
Yes.
Yeah, go ahead.
Let me ask you a quick question, if you don't mind, Miss Sister Monica. What do you think is the thing keeping the Jews, the Bolsheviks, keeping them from going all the way, pulling the trigger on the people, and the white people in Canada, in the United States, and doing to us what they did to the 66 million, with the Jews, with their gulag system, and from the 1918, 1919 on to the 50s, they killed Alexander Solzhenitsyn, said 66 million white people in Russia and Eastern Europe. What's stopping them from doing that right now, Sister Monica? I know they want to do it.
I'm so glad you're asking that, but they're not being stopped. You know what they're doing? Like I say, different methods, same playbook. But, okay, you look up in the sky. They are poisoning us from the skies with those chemtrails. They are manipulating the weather. They are starting the fires. They are burning and flooding people out of their homes. They have shot up how much percentage of the population with their bioweapon rat poison, calling it a vaccine. So they are doing it as we speak. So it's just different methods. And they're not going to do it the same as they did in the Soviet Union. That's my take on it. I might be wrong, but I don't know. That's what I'm seeing. It's an all-out war on all fronts, and they're, you know, through poison and whatnot. And the LGBTQ stuff and going after the children with that. I mean, that's the clincher.
Well, let me pitch out something before I forget. Actually, my brother knew more about this the other day than I did. He said that the man... that the feds aimed to kill. There was no doubt that they wanted to kill this man in Utah, and they planned to kill him. But he said he was a 300-pound, overweight man, very short little man, and that he was an invalid taking care of an invalid son. I mean, this is the federal government, and should we be shocked?
So what happened with him?
They just went out there and killed him because they said he was threatening Biden and Kamala Harris and other people on his websites or in his his emails, which they were listening to and reporting. And, of course, they went there with good intentions. They had no plan to arrest him. They planned to kill him, and they did kill him.
Wow.
That was the day that Biden went to Utah. They just decided to eliminate this man.
Damn, you know, That's happened many times before. I was just telling Brenda about that. How many times have we seen the thugs, the FBI, and even local cops kick in a door and kill the wrong person? I know they killed a Marine several years back. He'd been home from Iraq. They got the wrong house, kicked the door, and shot him all to pieces 30, 40 times. And, we're so sorry, you just got the wrong house. Nothing ever comes of it.
Right, right.
Yeah.
Yep.
Eddie, the other part about it, I mean, this is one of their favorite strategies of war is starvation. And I think we haven't seen it yet. But, you know, what about all those food production places that have gone up in flames and explosions? And
yes.
All that. I mean, at some point, this is going to catch up. So, you know, and chickens not laying eggs properly anymore. What are they doing with the feed? I don't know. I mean, there's a war on our food as well. And so far, people are still eating. But, yeah, I'm not sure where that's going.
They hate human beings. They hate God. They hate us. They were...
It's an epic battle between good and evil.
Yes,
and
it is.
And we are witnessing that. And part of the evil of it is it by deception. This is the part that enrages me the most, because it's a war that so many people don't even really understand that we're in. And so, as it said in the protocols, the Goyim will become agents of their own destruction. And so we have so many of our people, our race, our racial brethren, and our sisters and brothers who are working in the system against us, and they don't even know it. Some of them, they are doing it knowingly because they're getting rich and they're, you know, they don't care, and maybe they've become psychopathic or whatever, but most of them just don't even know it.
Oh, and don't forget about Alfred before the time is up.
Yeah, so Alfred is still... Well, he's just enjoying every day. He was supposed to show up August 3rd, but that if you show up voluntarily at the enemy of the gate, meaning jail, because he was supposed to go into jail, that would be like presenting yourself to the enemy line and saying, here, take me as a prisoner of war. That would be like a traitorous thing to do. So, but he's not running away. He's basically, and he's broadcasting that to the world, so I don't feel like I'm giving it away here. So, you know, he's just enjoying every day, or working hard every day, getting the wood in, doing physical things and outside under the sky. But, and he saw his attitude, you know, when he's got a 6-month sentence hanging over him and he's just done 4 years, he said, oh, that you can just sit 6 months on one cheek, meaning his, you know, the rear end cheek. There's an expression in German that works. I don't think the same expression. Auf eine Backe absitzen. You know, it just means sitting on one cheek. You could do that real easily. So he's not worried about that at all. He understands fully we're in a war, and this is for his dog, basically. And that's the proverbial Pavlov dog that he explained to the fellow prisoner how high he can jump, you know. And yeah, so... that's his situation.
Did he ever get his equipment back?
Yes, he did. Not from the latest. No, sorry, Eddie. They took everything, and he won't get that back for a while. But I was just thinking from the earlier police raids over the years. Oh. But no, this latest police raid, they cleaned him out, and he had to go buy new equipment, new computer and whatnot, which he did. Yeah.
You know,
it's theft. Theft from the thugs in uniform. But somehow Alfred and all the political prisoners in Germany, what they always write in the charge is that their actions undermine the people's trust in the justice system. And yet they can go and knock your door down and steal your stuff. Yeah. But your actions when you speak is undermining the trust in the system. I hear the music. Thanks, Eddie. Thanks, Nancy.
Well, thanks, you.
Everybody.
Thank you, Monica.
The precious sisters, God, I love y'all so much. Thank y'all for coming on tonight and carrying this hour. You did a marvelous job. The people love you. I love you. And I'll keep you getting with y'all. I don't know exactly how we're going to do it next week, but we'll have some other Charlottesville guests on. But anyway, people, Dear Blood River Radio audience, thank you for tuning in. Thank you, Lizzie. Thanks, everybody. We got to get off to let the political cesspool come on now. Good night, everybody.